And that's what he does. He's a transformer. He's an invader. He's an interrupter. And when he interrupts and invades us with his grace, he changes things. He changes things and uses us to have an impact to change the world. He's doing it every day. And that's why we want to just be faithful to let him do what he does. Amen. To trust him. Won't you take your copy of your revelation and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. You know, as we think that on that, you know, that's what he came. God with us. Emmanuel. The Bible says that Emmanuel's name was going to be names like Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace and Most High God and the Holy One. And then when he meets up with Mary, the angel tells her that you shall call his name Jesus. Tells Joseph, you shall name that boy Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save. That's why God is with us, because God is for us. God is for us because he wants to save us. He wants to save us so that he can live in us. Why does he want to live in us? So that he can fill us. Why does he want to fill us? So that he can lead us and guide us through this life for his glory. Emmanuel. Some tangibles that we see in 1 Thessalonians, and we may even jump in the 2 Thessalonians, which is our reading today in chapter number 1, but the tangibles of Christmas, Christ and the cross. You know, the unique birth of Jesus is an essential to the gospel message. In the fact that without his unique birth, he would not have been a sinless redeemer. Because the Bible teaches us that the rest of us were fallen in sin. We inherited a nature that was contrary to the things of God. You got a holy God. And you got an unholy man, kind, humanity, fallen. And God himself come as a mediator between the unholy and the holy to make the unholy holy so that the unholy can live in relationship with the holy. Amen? Amen. And that's what the cradle, that's what the cross, that's what the character and the cause of Christ and his coming. If Jesus came the first time to rescue us, there's no doubt he's coming again. Amen. To take us on home with him. But I just want to draw out a few tangible, some touchable things. What effect does this Christmas message, this cause of Christ, the cross of Christ and his coming, what kind of tangible effect does it have on us? Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, let's just start there. I'm going to read a few of these verses, and we're going to look at some other places in this book that I think will help us look at some of these touchables, these tangible manifestations of the work that God does. I want to tell you, the message of the cross, the message of Christmas, the cause of Christ, it affects us. It changes us. It does take a boy from Chalmette or from St. Tammany Parish and transform them to be a vessel that God can use for his glory, even when no one else in the world would have ever expected it to happen. He does it. Verse 12 says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem or lift them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. and abstain from every form of evil. Father, we ask you today to help us. We want to learn how to be patient with all people. I believe that you, better than anyone, teaches us how to be patient. You teach us how to love one another. You teach us how to bear with one another. You teach us how to grow in your love, to grow in your grace, to grow in your revelation. And I pray today that the work that you accomplished when you came to this earth will be manifested and tangible out of our lives, that we will be patient and kind and gentle, and that we would trust that you're able to take even the wretches of our society, the wrecks of our peers, and bring them out of the mire and put them on a path that can't help but bring glory and honor to your name. We're thankful for testimonies today of your goodness and your glory. Thank you for doing something in our life personally. And now we pray that that will be transferred to those that you put us in contact with in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. That phrase, this is the message of what takes place in the life when he says that in verse number 14. Now we exhort you. The word exhort means to, we call on you. We declare unto you. We invite you, brethren, to warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Have you ever noticed sometimes it's hard to be patient? Patient with people? Because the idea of being patient here, especially in this context, is being patient with people. Now, he tells us in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians about an idea of perseverance. When we persevere through hard and difficult situations, like persecution that comes against us. And we've got to learn how to be patient with people if we're ever going to persevere and bring glory to God's name. But he said, be patient with all people. Well, you have to ask about that idea of being patient. I don't think we can just come to the conclusion today in our minds, well, today I'm going to be patient with people. I think being patient with people is a growing process that we learn as we grow in love with the Lord. As we grow in love. That's why Paul has already mentioned on several occasions in this letter. Did y'all notice that? As you was reading in 1 Thessalonians, how he said this, that your love may abound more and more. Now that's important for us. Why? We live in a society that keeps telling us we need less and less. To go less and less. We don't need to be as serious about this thing of Christ, or we can be too serious about the kingdom of God, and we need less and less, because if we've got more and more, we start having divisions and we start isolating ourselves. But I want to tell you, Paul encouraged the church on three unique times and told them to increase and abound more and more in love toward one another and toward the world. Amen. Go back in chapter number 3. Let's look at them. And I think this will make sense to you as we see this. Look in verse number 11. Paul says, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. Paul is saying we're at the mercy of God and we want to do what he's called us to do. But it's in our heart, we want to come see you. We would like to fellowship with you. I've already told you, if you read about when God established the church at Thessalonica, he used Paul and Silvanus or Silas and Timothy and other men to bring the gospel to them. They wasn't there very long, Kate. And while they were there, they had some trouble break out. And there was a guy by the name of Jason that met with the officials of Thessalonica. He assured them of something, and Paul and the rest of the team had to leave. They got out of town, and they got out of town pretty quick. They was not there very long. So they really had a difficult time establishing deep relationships or disciples with the Lord in that short a period of time. But one thing they trusted that God was able to do a work in these people, and God did. Now, they wondered about them. They wondered, have they grown? Have they been misled? Have they been duped by the enemy at any point in time? But he says, look, we would like to be with you. Is there anybody that you'd like to be with or be around and go fellowship with that you hadn't seen in a while? You would like to go see them and hang out with them and talk to them, but God hadn't opened the door for you to do that lately? This is what Paul is saying. We want to come. We want to fellowship with you. We long to be with you. He told the church at Rome the same thing, Bone. He said, we've longed to be with you for a long time, but we want to be in God's will, and we're asking God to send us to you, but if he chooses not, we're going to have to deal with that, but we would like to be in fellowship with you. It'd be good to know that people wanted to come hang out with us too. Amen. That other disciples would want to come and fellowship with us and be with us. And Paul says that. Verse 12 says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. I don't know if you picked up on that or not when you was reading through it, but can y'all see the intimate connection with a growing love toward the brethren and God establishing our hearts blameless? Amen. There's a connection there, Karen. The connection of a growing love and remaining blameless in our acts before the Lord go hand in hand together. Amen. That's why we find that Paul continues to encourage them that their love grow for one another, because the more we grow in love toward one another, the more patient we become with one another. The more patient we become with one another, the more persevering we become with one another. The more persevering and patient we are with one another, the more benefit and help we are to one another. We don't just write people off. We don't just push people out. We don't walk away from circumstances. We give God time to work. We pray for one another. We love on one another, because not everybody's easy to love. Are you with me? Matter of fact, I'm not always easy to love. I can be a pain, a burden to people. I can be hard. I imagine if you really evaluated your own life, sometimes you can be personally, whether it be with a spouse or with a child or with a neighbor or with a church member, you might not be as easy to love as you think you are. Are you with me? We can all be that away. He connects the fact that as our love grows with one another, so does the fact that our hearts are established blameless before God. Why? Because you know what love does? Love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? Love does a lot of things for us when it's at work in our life. Let's take it a step further. Look down in verse number 1 of chapter number 4. He says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound little by little. Does it say that? We exhort and abound what? More and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and please God, for you know what the commandments we have given you through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is simply saying that you don't need to let up the reins on what you're doing in the kingdom. God wants us to abound more and more. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow together. He wants us to grow together in love. He wants our love to grow toward one another, but he also wants our love, many, to grow in knowledge and in wisdom. And I'll bring that out in a moment and see how that works for us. Let's take it over and look in verse number 9 of chapter number 4. God says, but concerning brotherly love, you really have no need that I even should write to you. Why? For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Paul said, I really don't even have to dig into this issue. For you yourselves are taught by God to one love one another, and indeed you do love one another and all the brethren who are with you. But he says this, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase in that love, what?
More and more.
More and more. There's always room to grow. And all God's people say it?
Amen.
See, a growing love stretches us. A growing love stretches our patience with one another. Turn over to the book of Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Notice in verse number 9. Anybody growing in grace and knowledge is somebody growing in love. Their love is expanding. Their love is increasing. Their love is abounding. Verse 9 says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more, but that it abounds where? Philippians 1:9, in knowledge and in all discernment. Why is it important that your love abound in knowledge? That you may approve those things which are excellent, and that you may be sincere, authentic, without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You see that, Brother Shannon?
Amen.
Philippians 1:9 tells me that not only is my love to grow toward you, but as my love grows toward you, so should my love be growing in knowledge and discernment, so that I can know how to say yes to the excellent things of God and say no to those things that God doesn't want me involved in.
Amen.
That my life is expanding. My love is increasing. It's growing more and more. And I want to tell you, God is with us so that He can be in us. And when He's in us and growing us, our love for the brethren and for Him and in His ways is constantly growing. More and more.
Amen.
Our granddaughters were taught as little kids how to do sign language when they wanted more. Before they could actually talk, Elizabeth taught them how to say more when they wanted more of something. And when you was feeding them this, or they was watching this, or doing this or that, and they wanted more, they'd be doing this. So you want more? You need more? You want to watch it again? More and more. And she taught them that. And still to this day, you can watch them. They'll do that to one another. And they taught us how to do it. Every once in a while, I'll say, Steph, you want another bite of that steak? She'll go. Steph, you want something else to drink? Steph, you want another kiss? More and more. And you see, God teaches us how to give more and more. More love to one another. So that we can be patient with one another. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. It reads like this. Now watch. You see, a growing love stretches our patience with people and perseverance when being persecuted. Love suffers long, and while it suffers, it is always kind. It is never envious, nor does it command attention or gratitude. It will not act ugly or demand respect, and it cannot think wrongly or rejoice over wickedness. But it always celebrates and rejoices in the truth. And therefore, it can and it will bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never ever fails, and it cannot act any other way.
Amen.
You know how we're patient with all? Our love is increasing more and more. That is the first thing mentioned. Matter of fact, love is patient. I translate it as suffers long. The Bible says love is patient and it is kind. Love suffers long. Because the word patient literally means to be having an anger that stretches. A wrath that stretches. We call it at times long suffering, Briggs. It means that yes, what I see I don't like. What is before me is something that I don't care for. But because I have love, my patience in what I don't care for and what I'm suffering as I'm working with you right now is stretched. And I can bear it for a while because my love has stretched out my patience.
Amen.
To work with you.
Come on.
And I want to tell you, we need it. Amen.
Amen.
We need it. If we're going to bear with one another, if we're going to be kind to one another, to be patient with all means that we have a growing love toward one another and a growing wise love toward one another. You see, I want my love to grow in wisdom as I love you and as you love me. And what grace does in this love, in this life, just keeps taking us deeper and deeper. It takes us deeper and deeper. It makes life, the good and the bad, the easy and the hard, the gentle and prickly things of life, rich and rewarding. Dealing with life and all that comes with it, without grace, is kind of like handling a cactus without some kind of protective gear, like gloves. Eventually, life, like a cactus, is going to do what it does best when someone gets a hold of it. They both will fill them up with a bunch of stuff that hurts. But there are some birds out there that know how to go deeper than the spines on a cactus, and they learn how to build their nest in something that most creatures could never touch. And that's what grace does with us. And as grace grows us in love toward one another, and as grace grows us in a wise love to one another, things that normally would hurt the normal average person, grace takes us deeper beyond that. And we're able to bear with one another. We're able to deal with one another because love has stretched our patience so that we can love long and love with kindness and be a blessing to one another instead of, as Brother Tom said, give up on one another. Are you with me? I think about Joseph. Joseph is one of those great pictures of someone who God was taking deeper and deeper. Every step Joseph took as he walked with the Lord, it was deeper into pain. His brothers, his family, the slave traders, Potiphar and Potiphar's wife gets thrown in the prison. See, he's like, life was like a cactus to him, but he was like one of those birds that understood how to build a nest beyond those prickly hurting things. And God used him to do marvelous things.
Amen.
And we too go into those areas of life that have the potential to wound and hurt and cripple us mentally, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. And then God uses it all to provide a safe place for us to bless other people.
Amen.
That's what grace would do. Amen. God takes in our life when we are growing in His grace, which is growing us deeper in His love, deeper in love with one another. We begin to be able to deal with the untouchable things in life in ways that bring glory to Him. And His grace protects us through it. Amen. We can handle the untouchables or the undrinkable things in life. As I close, I remember that time when Jesus was at that wedding. Y'all remember when He went to that wedding at Cana and they ran out of wine?
Yeah.
And Jesus' mama pulled Him aside and said, "Jesus, they're out of wine." And Jesus said, "What's that to do with me?" And His mama looked over at the servants there and said, "Just do whatever He tells you to do." He knew He needed to do something when mama told Him, "Just you need to take care of this."
Yeah.
Scripture says that they took the wash pots, not potable water, not drinkable water. They took the ceremonial washing water that they washed their hands and their feet with for the wedding. The scripture says he took the undrinkable water and turned it into the best wine they ever had in their life. And that's what he does.
Amen.
And he takes those undrinkable things, those unbearable circumstances, and he transforms them into something that blesses everybody when they take a sip of what he transformed as being something undrinkable, untouchable, and makes it into something that just abounds with his grace and favor upon it. Amen?
Amen.
I want my life to be something that once was undrinkable that has become something that can be a blessing to people.
Amen.
That only happens when I realize that if I'm going to be patient and I'm going to persevere, that I'm going to have to grow in my love toward you and toward one another. It's going to have to keep growing and abounding. We're never going to arrive to a place that we can just lay our hands off and say, I can't grow no more in love with you, because we can. And he's able to do it so that we can bear the undrinkable and untouchable things of life together.
Come on.
For his glory.
Amen.
And that he grows our love and wisdom, knowledge and discernment, so that we can then know how to say yes to this and yes. Because love doesn't say yes to things that are wicked. Love only rejoices in the truth. Amen.
Amen.
But even when it can't rejoice in that wickedness, it can still bear it.
Yeah.
Because it has love and it's patient and it's kind. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, that's something that we all are in the learning curve, learning process of growing together as we journey with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the tangibles of the message of Christmas. The message of the character of Christ. The message of his cause. The message of the cross. The beautiful message of his coming. That, hey, his birth and death and life can actually be experienced with tangible realities. And how we bear with one another, love one another, are kind to one another, growing with one another to bring him glory and him praise. Amen? Aren't you glad for his grace? I know I am. For what he is doing, what he's done, and that there are still some undrinkable and untouchable folks that we just hadn't come across yet, that God's going to bring into our life, and we're going to watch him change them and transform them into something that we can give testimony to the grace and the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
There's still plenty more. And when some of you, as Paul encouraged the church at Thessalonica, when some of you are us, we become troublemakers, what did he tell to do to the troublemakers? Warn the troublemakers. What did he tell to do to those that were caving under the weight of the trials they were going through in life? He says, come alongside them and hold them up. What did he say to do with those that were caught up in temptations and couldn't overcome the weakness of their flesh? He says, hold them back. And when you hold them back from following the temptations of their flesh, when you come alongside those who are having trouble in the trials of life, and when you deal with troublemakers, he says, deal with every one of them with patience. Be patient with them all. And that's only going to happen as we grow in love.
Amen.
Father, we thank you today. We ask that you help us with these things. We want to be able to handle life with your grace. We know that it is the provision that is sufficient and immeasurable and more than enough, not only to provide what we need to protect us in all that we have to face, and that when we have to persevere through persecution, you tell us that that is a token, a proof that we belong to you. And I pray that you would help us grow in our love to one another, that our hope will abound and never disappoint, and that you continually build that in us, because we know that whatever you tell us to do is the right thing. And you're transforming bitter waters, nasty waters into things that will bless people in this life. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.